So back in 1973, almost impossible to imagine, Art Spiegelman published a 3-page comic strip in a small underground publication called Funny Animals. It was the first installment of what he called Mouse, the biography in part of Spiegelman's Holocaust survivor father Vladek, with mice standing in for Spiegelman, Vladek, and his fellow Jews. Other characters were played by other animals. The complete graphic narrative was eventually published in 2 volumes, and in 1992, nearly 20 years after he began work on the project, Mouse was given a special award from the Pulitzer Prize Committee, to date the only graphic novel honored by the committee. And last month, Pantheon Books released Metamouse, a look inside a modern classic. In it, Spiegelman details the creative process behind his masterpiece. It's also a very personal story of a son's search for a way to make sense of his parents' experiences. There's essays, notebooks, photos, a hyperlinked DVD of the complete Mouse, and Art Spiegelman. The one thing that Metamouse doesn't have is Art Spiegelman right there in the studio, which we have this morning. Good morning, Art.
Good morning, Sean.
It's great to see you once again. You know, this is a book, and anyone who loves Mouse is going to love this so much. But really, it seems to me the theme of this is that old Faulkner quote, "The past is never over, it isn't even past." The story of Mouse is the past living in the present.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you should do that because I've brought that quote up in other interviews already, only because it's one of the damn things I had to learn while doing this book. There's just no way to keep it at arm's length, even though I've been trying ever since 1991.
And cartoonists, I think, are known to be fringe guys. You're kind of out on the fringe commenting on maybe mainstream culture. But what was it like to find yourself really a central voice in the discussion of the Holocaust in this era?
Well, that's what I've been ducking since 1991. I had vowed not to become the Elie Wiesel of comic books. And so from 1991 till now, I've just been trying to reinvent myself while paying homage to this work that was far more successful than I could have ever dreamed, but wanting to take that Mouse mask off. It wasn't easily allowed because all people wanted was a Mouse 3, 4, and 5, and I could keep apologizing, saying, look, the war is over and my father's dead. There's no 3, 4, and 5. So eventually I just turned around and decided, okay, I'm going to stare this 5,000-pound Mouse right in the eyeballs as best I can and try to deliver myself of everything people have asked me in an organized form. And much to my happy surprise, I don't know if it ever really frees me because now I'm being interviewed about an interview about the interviews with my father.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Nevertheless, what is true is I'll give it everything I've got as a way of trying to see what is left, if I can reincarnate as an underground cartoonist again on the other side of this.
And what do we find in Metamouse? What explorations, what gems do you think people are going to find in here?
Gee, well, there's a few things that keep coming up that are eye-openers in the context of a book that had no good right to exist as a real book. I mean, here it is, a 25th anniversary book about a book. This, to me, is the kind of thing I give a wide berth to when walking around in my bookshops.
Yeah.
And what shocked me and pleased me somehow is that it's a real book. It actually functions to offer something other than, oh, and here's some outtakes and sketches. But among the outtakes and sketches are everything I could find, organized as well as I could find it. So whatever, 7,500 rough drawings that led to Mouse are somewhere on that DVD. The original interviews with my father are both there as deposition in the back of the
book.
Which
are amazing to hear.
And one of the main reasons I did it was to have that audio that's on the DVD because, okay, I had to slam a Mouse mask onto my father and shape the conversation with him in a way where he became a ventriloquist dummy for my projections onto what he told me about what he lived through in Auschwitz and beyond. And here, if I can't get my Mouse mask off, at least he can, and he's allowed to speak for himself. And hearing his own voice has been very powerful for other people as well as it is for me.
I'm wondering if you're struck by the power of this material, simply going back and asking your father these questions and then turning it into a creative piece. You are responsible for one of the most extraordinary moments in radio in my career. Do you remember it?
No. What did I do, walk off because I couldn't smoke?
No. You were on a show that I did years ago called Talk of the Nation. It's still in the air. And we were talking about Mouse. And a man called up who didn't know anything about your work, but he was a guard at one of the concentration camps.
Oh, yeah.
And he called up and he talked about you talking to your father and how much he had always wanted to talk to his father on the other side of the whole Holocaust about what it was like to be a guard at a concentration camp. And he never got the nerve to do it. And he was almost in tears talking to how much he admired you.
Yeah. I remember that. I didn't put it all together as you mentioned it, but that is one of the things that's been coming through to me over the decades, that Mouse has been useful to people who haven't been in my, not only in this one odd instance of being on the other side of the same divide and question, but even for people who have totally different backgrounds, the variations of what's happened again ever since people first started saying never again were enough for me to be hearing from Yugoslavs that I've met mm-hmm. and as the book's gotten translated there, and from inner city schools where kids have similarly looming historical issues weighing down their actual present. And I got the idea that even though not everybody had a father who went through the Holocaust, that they often had fathers who threw out their winter coats when they weren't looking.
Mm. You know, when kids experience trauma, therapists, and it's something that we hear about a lot in the media, ask them to sit down and draw pictures of Sarajevo or war or something that's happening. In some ways, the methodology of Maus is a kind of a writ large implementation of that idea. The notion that we will draw our way through a complex and emotionally wrenching mystery, and you've made this path.
Yeah, it's giving it concrete form and visualizing it. I didn't know what I was getting into. All I wanted at the time back in the there was that 3-page comic that you mentioned.
Right.
And then I returned to it because it was so obviously a vast subject, and at a time where that vast subject was not part of our popular culture. It wasn't receiving the annual Oscar Award for Best Holocaust Movie. That wasn't
right,
the world
right.
I was in. And there's no context of long comic book that needs a bookmark. That was just a dream of mine. All I wanted to do is tell a story worth telling that could be reread. And then as I've gone on, I've discovered all of these other aspects of this that had to do with, I don't know, gestalt therapy, having to relive the story from my father's point of view, my father who I got along with pretty dismally. In order to act him out from box to box, I had to act him out, inhabit him. And it was a way of, without trying to confuse this book with therapy, it was a way of entering into his skin and feeling it his way just in order to make the proper shrug in a given panel.
Well, he's very much alive in this book, Meta Maus, as are you. And we get to see you age over the course of the pictures in this book. Can we do a little comic book macho before we go? Are you a better drawer today?
Well,
are you still the hottest drawer in the pack of cartoonists in the world?
I never was. Drawing always came really difficult, which is why I took on such a difficult subject matter so I wouldn't spend all my time just drawing a fight scene for 13 years. but basically, I found the drawing always has come with difficulty, and now there's so many more even better drawers because Maus, among another few works, opened this world up where it's no longer shameful to be a comics artist. So now, as soon as I finish book touring and a couple of other things that fell on me that involved more like being an executor of my own estate rather than an artist, I get to go back and try to become a good cartoonist again.
And, you know, don't worry about the Elie Wiesel of cartoonism. I think Yoda of cartoon is pretty good. Not bad. What a legacy. Art Spiegelman, thanks so much. Happy holidays. Pulitzer Prize winning creator of the graphic novel Maus and the new Meta Maus. Thanks, Art.
Thanks.
We want to hear your stories on that or anything else that we've talked about today. We spoke earlier about the question of statute of limitations in cases like child sexual abuse. Do you think there should be a limit on how many years that you actually get and to prosecute those kind of cases? Kevin writes on Facebook, either a statute of limitations exists or it doesn't. If not, mayhem will ensue over every stale legal issue, but this exposure will make abusers worldwide take note. You can weigh in on this debate, which is pretty lively, at Facebook, or just give us a call. It's 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.